Hello, survivors, and welcome to A Moment of Relief, the first aid spray show where we can talk about whatever the heck we want, bite-sized discussions of any kind, the kind of stuff that doesn't fit into the main show. I've been looking forward to do this one for quite a while now for a variety of reasons. But first, my name is Sai, introducing my special guest for this episode, my friend and colleague and a superstar editor over at What Culture Gaming, Mr. Dan Durkin.
Hi, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you. We've been obviously talking about doing stuff for ages. It was inevitable that I'd get you on First Aid Spray at some point because, you know, huge Resident Evil fan. So we're going to get into a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. But also we're going to get into Resident Evil 4 VR. That's the title of this video, podcast, whatever you've clicked on, either on YouTube or podcast feeds, however you consume this, or via our Patreon feed where you get everything a little bit early. So make sure to check that out as well. We're going to be talking about Resident Evil 4 VR. And I'm really glad to do this because every time VR comes up as part of Resident Evil in the news, like as the main show of First Aid Spray, we don't have a lot to say because most of the guys have very minimal VR experience and none of us, until recently, owned any VR kit. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like, that's nice, I guess. Sure, it would be cool to play that at some point. But now I'm here with Dan, who has extensive VR experience, comparatively. And I have finally played Resident Evil 4 VR, so we're going to talk about that game. But let's go back a little bit earlier than that, before we get to that. Dan, what's your sort of story with Resident Evil? Where did you jump in? And I know Resident Evil 4 is really important to you specifically. Yeah. I want to talk about that a little bit because, that's a thing.
So originally, when I was a kid, my dad played Resident Evil 2 and I would just sit and watch him play that game and it scarred us for life. I don't know if you remember that What Culture recording that we did. I mentioned that vividly. And ever since that moment, I've just been hooked into the franchise, and I'd say Resident Evil 4 is the best game of all time, the original. Like, it's my favourite game, and I'm currently, like, on this little quest at the minute to try and get every single version of Resident Evil 4. So I've spent so much money. I've got, like, the Japanese PS2 version, the Japanese GameCube version, and all that, and I just love Resident Evil 4. I just love Leon.
I've been getting updates of this little stack of different Biohazard logos from, you know, all these different formats. It's very cool indeed. So that kind of actually brings me to my sort of next bit, which was to talk about VR. Like, mm-hmm. What's your experience with VR up until this point? Did you have experience before you bought your Meta Quest 2? Did you get a PSVR before that or anything like that?
So I didn't actually own the PSVR, but my cousin did. And right. My first experience with VR in general was a Resident Evil 7 demo. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was like you were sat in a chair and it was kind of like this teaser.
Yes, very
for the,
familiar.
Yeah, for the VR mode. And so it wasn't like the actual Resident Evil 7. It was like the demo for it. But that was like my first experience with VR. You just sat there and it's like very scary. And it was Resident Evil 4 coming out on the Meta Quest, which got me like into it. Like, that's what pulled us in. And that was the reason I bought my Meta Quest. I think it was an Oculus at the time. I think that's what it was called.
Mm-hmm. But
Then from Resident Evil, Resident Evil 4 VR is the best VR game in my opinion. But I've branched out into other VR like avenues and games and stuff. But I think that initial Resident Evil 4 being announced on the Oculus is what like pulled me into it.
Mm-hmm. That was, I was going to answer that, of course. Like, obviously, it being your favorite game of all time, it was kind of a done deal, right? It's like, well, I have to buy this system. Definitely. Does this mean you're going to get a PSVR 2 at some point to play Remake? Like, or does that not count? It's not the same, right?
The thing is, I considered it, but then it's the price of that thing. It's so much money to play one game. I know you can play Village as well, but I'd have to ask the wife because she'd probably kill us if I pulled up with a £500 headset. But I am hoping that Josh Brown brings his into work because he has the VR2, I believe, and he has Resident Evil 4. And hopefully we can make that our next gaming challenge.
I was going to say, we'll do a trade of headsets for bit so you can both go through other version of RE4. Mm-hmm. I completely, when you talk about, you know, there's plenty of to experience out there in VR.
Yeah.
We both have a shared love of rhythm games. So we talked briefly about Beat Saber and stuff like that. The other I think actually if you go on the Quest store, that's like the most popular VR game in terms of sales. I'm pretty sure it's probably always been at the top if I had to guess. But I'm not surprised that it was like Resident Evil 4, I'm going to buy this now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, my experiences pretty much match yours exactly to some degree. I think I talked about this a little bit before in the show, so I won't necessarily repeat myself too much, but yeah, I played a little bit of RE7 on PSVR, but my first ever experience was the kitchen demo that you talk about, which is not even... I don't think there's any gameplay. You just sit in a chair and get murdered, essentially. And it was like, okay, that was my first ever experience. And yeah, you know, I've had mixed results with it over the years, but the backstory to this, the reason that we're able to do this is that Dan is basically responsible for the fact that I own a MetaQuest. Because... as we talked about working together, we've been doing a little bit of a different thing over at What Culture Gaming since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Sort of taking a break from the editorial stuff to relax a little bit and just to hang out and play some games. And we've been doing some challenges. And one of those was, in case you haven't seen it, and I'll put the link down in the description.
You need to see it.
Wherever you are
you need to see
watching
it.
This.
It's so good.
It's an experience. Yeah, it's a great video. It came out great. But I think just kind of on a whim, we were like, we should do a VR one. We should do Resident Evil 4 VR. How quickly can you get through the village onslaught at the beginning of the game?
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first taste with Resident Evil 4 VR, and several things I think come across in that video. One of them is me going, I need to buy this. Like, there's probably, I'm pretty sure there's a moment where I say, I really enjoyed this, I'm really interested to play more. And then I got home and just bought the system two days later because I really wanted to play more. But also you can, the difference between me playing then, where I'm very stationary, I'm using the thumbstick to sort of move in sort of integers, I guess. Whereas you and Josh, that you've just mentioned, you both have VR experience.
Yeah.
So watching you guys at play, you're like spinning on the spot, looking over your shoulder, looking down out of windows, crazy stuff like that. That now that I've played the game, I totally get. First experience, I was like very rigid about it.
It wasn't necessarily fair to do a challenge video with two people who weren't familiar with VR. It was kind of rigged from the start.
Kind of, but I'm not mad about it because, like I said, the reality of the situation is it led me to playing Resident Evil 4 VR in full. I'm very glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the game. Let's talk about our experiences with it. What were your first impressions of stepping into Resident Evil 4 VR? Were you immediately blown away by being in that world that you played?
Yeah, it was surreal.
For 20 years?
It was so surreal just being there. It's so immersive. Mm. Like, you can watch it on a screen, but unless you like physically put on the headset and step into this world, I don't think like watching videos on it can convey how incredible it is. Like, because I was always a doubter of VR. Like, I wanted to play Resident Evil 7 because I've heard that's incredible. But just owning the console and just, like, getting to experience it at, like, your own pace is very, like...
Yes.
I'd say you have to give it time because, like, I got mad motion sickness, like, at the start. But I just pushed through and I got used to it and... I think this is like the definitive way to play Resident Evil 4. Like, I'm going to just put that out there.
Straight out of the gate with a strong take. I love it. Because I probably agree. Like, on the First Days Parade Discord server, the week or two that I was playing this, I just wouldn't shut up about it, to be honest. I just kept bringing it up. I was like, I just done this. I just had this experience. Like, the game was brand new. And Resident Evil 4, I've said it many times, it's not my cup of tea when it comes to Resident Evil. It's not the game that I
disagree on that. We'll get into that.
That's something at least. It's not the game that I would necessarily reach to first.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, I had such a great experience going through this. And yeah, just all the little things that you say, getting in there, one of the things that you pointed out to me is like early in the game, there's the stakes with the skulls hanging from them.
Yeah.
You just knock them around and they
punch
move
the
around.
Skulls.
just little touches like that that are just brilliant. But just being in that world. And there's something really interesting about the graphics of it.
Yeah.
Compared to RE7, which is still, you know, it's not like, you know that you're not in the real world. Mm-hmm. We're not at that point yet. But this actually being lower fidelity really helped me. There was, like, there's something about that. I was like, there's something cheesily cool about, like, I'm in a video game. I'm also in a video game from 20 years ago that I grew up with or whatever. Stepping foot into that first house and stuff.
It's crazy.
I got
how
motion
well it
sickness.
Works, doesn't it? Like,
it's incredible.
With the graphics being like as dated as they are.
Yeah, and then it is weird because I say that at the same time, you play it for not even really that long before Yeah, immersed is the best word for it. Like, I'm in this world now. I believe this. You kind of have your mind, and then out here, you're like, right, this is the room around me. I'm at least aware that I'm not, like, punching the fireplace as I did when I was playing Super Hot last week. you're at least aware of your actual surroundings, but with it all enclosed around you with the thing on you, you kind of lose track of that. Just in the right amount.
Definitely,
like, okay, yeah. I'm in this world now. I'm looking over here. I can see the sort of mountains here, and it's interesting to get new perspectives on stuff like that. I want to talk about that a bit more when we get into it as well. But yeah, definitely mind-blowing. I had a little bit of motion sickness. You witnessed this in the office when I had a bit of a trial run with it, and I was like, okay, first time I put a headset on in a very long time, it definitely threw me off. But I acclimatized to it really quick, and I don't know if that's the progression of VR since the original PSVR to the Meta Quest 2 getting stronger, or the fact that it's got dated graphics, so it doesn't throw your brain off as much, or any combination of which. But yeah, thankfully I kind of acclimatized to it quite quickly, so I could put in pretty long stretches of time with the game. There are so many little things in this game that we could just sit here and shout out, so basically let's just start doing that.
Okay.
You know, some things that really like stood out to you as like, this is an awesome moment that I got to experience in VR.
Do you know what it is? It's the first time you reload the pistol. I know that's really like basic, but just you've got the controller in your hand, you drop the mag, and you've got to use your other hand to physically get the thing out and like cock it. And it just blew my mind. It's like, at the start of the game, obviously you fight the first Ganado, and then you kind of just chucked into it, especially with the village section. Like, I've played through Resident Evil 4, I'd say over 140 times at this point. Like, I've still got my PS2 save, where I think it's around 136 it has on that one save, because Resident Evil 4 is like, it was my comfort game growing up. So, and then I've played it on all the other consoles, like Xbox 360, PS4, and all that. But like, going into the village in VR for the first time, I was like scared, because you're just there. And I think it's just an incredible game anyway, but this immersion just adds a whole nother layer to it.
Yeah. I'm so glad you went. It's kind of the easy one, right? But it is, and it never stops being satisfying, the fact that you have to manually reload your weapons. I just said, I'm in the First Days Pro Discord server just not shutting up about this game. I swear every other message was just like, oh my God, I just got this weapon and the reload for it. It's really cool. Like the rifle, I've got to pull the thing back on it after every shot, which is frustrating because it's meant to be like it adds that tension to it, like it does in the original game, perhaps even more so. But yeah, incredible. That was one of my favorite things about it, is just how fun the gunplay was, because of having to take the mag out, slip it in. Certain guns, like I've often fall into the trap of buying the Red 9. That was my handgun through this playthrough. And that one, you put the ammo in the top.
Yeah.
And then you fire once to break the top off so that it's loaded in.
As well, you've got to do the little flick.
Yeah, incredible. Like with the Magnum as well, like stuff like that. It's just awesome. And at first, it really adds to that element. Like you say, you get into the town square, everybody's coming at you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like the reloads are not just a push of a button. I actually have to do something. And the same thing about generally, like, your sort of ability to grab equipment that's on your person.
Yeah.
Like your grenade is sort of on the right part of your chest. The knife's on the left part of your chest. You reach backwards to pull out your second weapon, which is, I guess this is the first time this game has that.
Yeah.
You can, instead of going into the inventory, you at least have two weapons to play around with.
You can dual wield as well. Like, you can have both weapons
and you
out
can dual
at the same time.
There's nothing stopping you. And the hilarious part of that, of course, is you can absolutely no scope enemies now with the rifle.
Yes.
I 100% spent a lot of the time doing. The rifle became my best friend in this playthrough, and I avoid it a lot because it's such a time sink. Had to like root your feet down and aim. This time, run around and just cap people without looking down the sight, because you don't have to bring it up. You choose whether or not you bring it up to your face. Just stuff like that's incredible. And it starts out as like, oh my God, this is really tense because there's so much to remember here. But then you get into it. Like with any other game, it just becomes second nature. And it's so much more than just, oh no, pressing a button to reload. Like, it's incredible. And just not even the game. The shooting gallery. The shooting gallery,
the
by the way.
The shooting gallery. Oh, incredible.
It's like 500% easier. Like, I breeze through it.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it was just so much fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's every single gun feels satisfying to use as well. Like, I know a lot of people, like, it's either the Red Nine or the Blacktail. Yeah. But, like, you can use the Silver Ghost. You can use the Punisher to an extent, like, if you get the exclusive upgrade for it. But, like, it's fun to use every weapon. Like, it doesn't feel like you're at a disadvantage if you choose, say, the Riot Gun over the Striker. But, yeah. Oh, it's just, I can't praise this game enough. Like, it's so good. And every Resident Evil 4 fan should experience this version of the game.
Yeah, you'll be continued run away just by little touches like that. They just, it makes it feel brand new, even though it's essentially the same game. But I'm like, okay, now I actually just have to cock the shotgun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge game changer. And I'm really looking forward to going through it again. I played through it on easy, partly because I didn't know how much motion sickness I was going to get hit by. And I was like, I'm just going to make it easy on myself the first round through, but I'm going to go through it again.
Yeah.
And half of the reason is I just want to use the rest of the weapons and see what the reload's like and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. And because I played it on easy, there's like a bunch of locations that you don't go to in easy mode.
Like the garden with the dogs and stuff.
Yeah, the garden, there's like the clock tower is one of them when you're going across the bridges. So there's going to be stuff that I'll get to experience for the first time. There's a bunch of stuff in there where, because I played the game so many times like you, I know what's coming. And it did kind of like put a little bit of fear into me. I've got a weird thing about like giant creatures, like terrified of, like, if I was up close to an elephant, I'd be bricking it.
Because
like the power of something that huge even doesn't really even know you're there, you know. So, you know, El Gigante and what's the thing in the lake called?
Del Lago.
Del Lago, thank you. Yeah. I was kind of terrified of those moments.
What did you think when I got there? The Del Lago? Sorry to interrupt.
I mean, I didn't. It was kind of whatever. I've used to playing it on the remake, which I actually hate it in the remake. It's the worst part in the game for me.
Yeah.
So it was nice to do it in VR. You actually said to me, so it's nice that you brought this up, that you had some motion sickness issues with this, right?
Yeah. So initially it was that fight, because it's a little bit different as well. You get like the harpoon gun and you've got to physically put the harpoons in the gun instead of like throwing it like you do in the original game. But for some reason with VR, with me personally, when I'm not controlling the movement, it gives us motion sickness, like, really badly. And I experienced this at the minecart section a bit later on in the game as well. And at that point, it, like, completely threw me off in, like, the VR space. I couldn't physically play any other VR game because I guess my brain just associated with putting the headset on with this motion sickness. And it took us a really long time to, like, get over that and, like, finish it off after playing that section. But I had to like build my tolerance up again, and that it was a bummer. But yeah, it's just one of those things.
I've had one recently. This is kind of like a little sidebar, really. But I had one recently where I played it was like Kitchen Simulator or Cooking Simulator, I think it was.
Okay.
But it's by comparison to RE4, and I don't mean it sounds harsh, but it's so poorly made in comparison to RE4 that I played it for about 10 minutes. And I just like, I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
Like the movement was so jerky. So I was out as quick as possible. And I'm glad I am, because if I'd have stuck with it, yeah, it sounds like I might struggle maybe to get back in with it. Because of what you said that about the boat section and the minecart bit, I did those parts where I knew they were coming up. I was like, I'm going to change the controls to sat down mode.
Uh-huh.
Because Leon would be sat in the boat. And maybe he'd sit in the minecart, right?
True.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
just to make it a little bit easier on myself, and I didn't have a problem. So I might try it standing up next time, but I could completely, just like imagining it, I could kind of feel like this, you know, where your stomach sort of drops. I can sort of imagine what that's like on a minecart, especially.
Yeah, it's weird because your brain thinks that you're moving. It's like being on a roller coaster without actually being on a roller coaster. Like,
yeah.
Your brain thinks that you're moving, but you're not moving. And I guess something with that just connected with me not moving, and it just threw us off, I think. It's just little things like having to insert the insignia key into the door and turn the key. Like, they didn't have to do that. You could have just like made it a press and a button, or like combining the two emblems together and then slotting them into the door. Just little things that help build the immersion.
You have to push buttons and stuff like that if there's ever a panel that you need to operate and that kind of thing. Yeah, it's the little things like that. It's not just, and this comes with sort of time and experience, it's not like RE7 VR from what I've played, which is just the game in VR. They have taken a bunch of stuff and gone, we're going to change this to make it function better with the system that we've got and take fuller advantage of it, which makes it so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because in terms of like, Like I said, it's a little bit... There's moments where it's broken. Because there are moments where it's like, these guys should be much harder to kill. Because the game's on a grid and they're like, they've got shields or whatever. Or they're from an angle where it's going, I'm trying to get around. With VR, I can just kind of bend around and whatever. Kind of mug them off a little bit. But that's kind of part of the charm, right? Like, I actually kind of enjoyed that I could abuse it a little bit because I knew how it worked. The guys on the giant dragon things with the spewing the fire, nothing in VR. Not a problem.
It does fundamentally break the game, being able to move and shoot at the same time. Like, you don't really think about it, but it really does. Like, you feel overpowered once you've gotten used to the controls, but I think that's offset at the start of the game, especially if you're, like, new with VR. You kind of finding your legs a little bit, so I think the earlier points of the game are like better for that, but I still had a blast all the way through apart from that minecart section.
I was gonna say, is there really any negatives to it beyond the motion sickness? Because I don't really have anything that I was like, this is definitely worse than the original. I think everything about it, I was like, I'm enjoying this more. Even the broken parts.
Yeah, one thing I will say is when you like shoot an enemy to stun them, you run towards them, you like press A to kick, it goes out, so you like kind of kick them in third person.
But yeah.
Then I'm thinking, if you did that in first person, would it be weird and like, because your head would be moving, I guess? I don't know, like, what would be a good way to do that if they weren't to have done that. But that's kind of a little bit immersion breaking at times. How did you feel about the cinematics as well, being like on a screen?
Yeah, it's a little weird, right? It basically, for those who haven't played, I imagine there are a lot of people that are potentially watching or listening to this that haven't had that experience. The way that it works is essentially you get to a cutscene and everything around you goes black and you're just watching on a screen the cutscene play out. In my case, didn't watch any of them, skipped all of them, but seen them all before, right? But
hey, it's an incredible game. You've got to watch the cutscenes. Just to experience a Leon charm.
I've been there, I've experienced it. It's fine. It's they're fine. I think they did what they could. Like, that's the most logical thing to do. Like, what there's no way, because those are all, I don't actually know if they're like the baked in ones. Like, if you changed the costume, would they swap or are they actual, they rendered the way they are and they're just the way they are?
I'm not sure about that one, you know.
Because it depends on what version of RE4 you're playing. Otherwise, obviously, the PS2 has got like the really murky cutscenes where they don't change. I think these are probably just kind of like that. These are high res enough. It does take you out of it a little bit, but it's probably the best they could do. It's not like they could remake the cutscenes all in engine. That would be a ridiculous ask. And also, there would be probably lots of vomit happening because there's a lot of rolling around and
So I tried Doom 3 VR. Which, it's not like an official game, but that does a thing where the cutscenes take place in the world. So you're the camera. So you're like moving from scene to scene, but you can still look around. It's really weird. So I can see why they did that. But yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like it's all in engine though, right? Like, if you could do that.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference. That'd be kind of cool because it'd almost be like a nod to the fixed camera angle if they could do that with Resi 4. Be like, oh, hey, this is how it used to be. That'd be cool. But yeah, that would have taken a lot more work, I think, to just rebuild all those cutscenes in the engine.
Yeah.
So they already put enough effort into all the little bits, like we said before, certainly. Have you had a chance to play Mercenaries yet? Because I haven't had a chance to dig into it. Is there anything interesting or different about that, or is it just...
Yeah, I've played a little bit. I remember using the Chicago typewriter in Mercenaries. I don't know, I can't, because it was a while ago that I played it now, so I can't like specifically remember the ins and outs of it. But yeah, it's just more Resident Evil. It's just fun, isn't it? It's good to experience the combat in a different setting, and it forces you to use like different guns and stuff. But I'd definitely recommend you give it a go.
Yeah, I will make time for it at some point, like, because all the loadouts are interesting and all the characters and stuff like that. So yeah, I had a really good time playing through Mercenaries, what was it, a year ago, 2 years? Probably for the first time. It's never really appealed to me. And I was like, oh, this is actually, I get it. This is actually really fun, what I've been missing out on for ages. So I will go through it in VR as well and then go through the main game again. It's so weird after all these years to be like itching to play Resident Evil 4. But I'm looking forward to getting back onto it. And you kind of led out of the gate with the strong take, but kind of same thing here in the sense that I feel like my VR experience has peaked. Like, I started right, like, nothing's ever really going to top this, which is a real problem.
Yeah.
Spent all this money on a headset for that one game. Everything else is probably just going to be, okay.
Definitely. I can agree with that. But you'll always have Resident Evil 4 there to play.
It's true.
Does it make you want to play the remake more, do you think?
Like in VR?
In VR.
Yeah, it does make me want to play the remake in VR and compare them. There are reasons for and against that. One of them being that just because it's high fidelity, it'll be scarier. So, and that we're going to get to that as well. It's definitely something I want to talk about before we wrap up. But yeah, it's made me more interested in it, if not for the fact that, unfortunately, as you say, the PSVR is, or PSVR 2 is quite expensive after having already bought a headset.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of one or the other, really. Mm-hmm. And you sort of sold me on this one first, so that's kind of how it worked out. But maybe one day.
About the exclusivity of these VR games, are you against that or are you for it? Because
it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's difficult because it's a similar question to when you just talk about console exclusives, because that's essentially what it is. The Oculus, the Quest is a console, basically.
Yeah.
I bought a console. So it's going to have exclusives. I would like, especially in the case of this, being that it's Capcom, they're very friendly about ports and making sure everything's available to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
I would love for this to come to PSVR, the Resident Evil 4 Classic. I don't know if it would convert the other way if you get Remake 4 on VR 2, but I'd like that to be the case, absolutely. Like, in an ideal world, because it's such a specific thing that you're buying, you're not just buying a games console. Like, this, when you buy a VR platform, you already know that I'm going into a system that has not a lot of games. It's a lot of novelty and experiments and stuff like that. I tell you what, I had a lot of fun playing... I think it's Horizon something Worlds. It comes with the thing, right? And you just wander around these worlds as people hanging out. I think it's where Ariana Grande does her concert. And genuinely. And there's like a base shooter in that. And I played that accidentally for an hour the other night and had a really good time.
Yeah.
But it's super simple stuff. And you very rarely get a full game on either system. And every time it's Resident Evil. Like on Quest, it's Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, they do
on
it PSVR, so well,
it's Resident Evil 7, Village, and 4. They're the kings of VR. And apparently that's across all systems. That's what we've learned.
So you can connect your VR headset to your PC as well. And there's mods of Resident Evil 2 Remake and stuff like that, which I really want to play at some point. I don't think
that sounds horrifying.
Good enough.
Great.
But yeah. It's like... having that option there, it's a mod, so it's probably a little bit janky, but it's there. Like, if you are ever interested in that in the future, you've got that option. But back to Resident Evil 4, what's your favorite part of the game?
That's really tricky. I'm so tempted to say the shooting gallery, honestly. I had such... Do you know what the little thing about it is, though? And this is just another example of just little dumb things. I bet you smiled at this as well. When you complete a shooting gallery thing, obviously you get the figurines come up.
I know what you're going to say.
Did you not pick them up and be bang them together like action figures? Like, you get Leon pointing a gun and a Granada at the same time. You're like a kid. And then you throw it over your shoulder. That's what I did there, every single one of them. And then carried on. So, weirdly, that is a standout for me, which is the most non-thing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a bunch of areas where I was like, that was awesome when I got out of them. Fighting the Gigante is one of them.
Yeah.
Because I sort of started to say, I was kind of a little bit nervous about it because it's this giant creature and I'm running around through its legs. I was a little bit kind of terrified of how immersive that was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it was really surreal when you climb up on its back and you're this close from the Plagas and you got to swipe at it with a knife.
Yeah.
But once it was done, I was like, that was pretty awesome, it has to be said. What about you?
There's so many standout moments in the game itself, so picking one is so hard. The village would be the easy way out, so
yeah,
I'm gonna say the first Garrido fight, especially if you take Ashley down with you. doing that and you're just kind of creeping around and you can walk up to him and just lean in a little bit and almost touch him. It's so good. And just shooting the bell and stuff. And I'd say the castle's probably my favorite part of Resident Evil 4. I know that's probably controversial. I don't know how you feel about it.
You know, I might have thought that it's controversial until playing this, because it is really fun. Like, you get to take in the sort of opulence of the castle a lot more when you're up close to it and get to appreciate some of the textures a lot more. And I just really found the layout really pleasing this time around as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's part of just being in there. Maybe it's just coincidental. But I had, great time in the castle. And also, and this is the first time that I've played the original RE4 since the remake came out.
Okay.
So I had that context of being like, oh yes, I remember what this is like from the remake now. Here it was in the original, like twisting backwards. And the island is a lot longer than I thought it was. Yeah. Like, there's so many areas in there that they didn't do anything with in the remake. I was like, oh yeah, the bit where you climb on top of the vehicle when it moves down and stuff like that. I got killed there a few times.
Are you going to go back through this on professional, do you think?
I don't know if it's professional.
I think
we'll have to get through normal, right, to even get to unlock the difficulty. So I've got to get through it at least once. But who knows? Maybe I'll be hankering to get back into it afterwards. The thing that I was going to ask you is, like, again, as someone that's played RE4 and very familiar with the game, was there any moments where you were like, I'm scared? Like, for the first time in however long playing this game, I'm actually on edge.
I think everyone's going to know the moment.
Probably.
With the regenerators and the breathing and the nightmares.
Yeah, that's up there.
It's always that, isn't it? It's always going to be that. Just seeing them up close, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. I know they're like low res or whatever, low poly, but it doesn't
matter. Really does. No, it doesn't matter. And the thing is, I was never all that scared by them anyway, but now, this time, absolutely. And even before I saw them or whatever, I was just like, okay, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going into. I know these tight corridors. There's no way around them. I was like, okay. There's a lot more of them in the game than I remembered as well.
Yeah.
I rushed through the first sort of segment with them so quick I didn't pick up the infrared scope.
Oh, no.
I was just in a hurry so badly to get out. I was like, I don't want to be there. I was like, oh, I guess I went past it.
Missed it.
Oh, well, it's too late now. there were a couple of moments where I actually had to struggle with them, just like throwing ammo at them until they wouldn't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That, for me, the Verdugo as well, threw me off. I was trying my darndest just to rocket launcher it and get out as quick as possible.
The easy way out. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, I was so tempted to do it, but eventually I did it the proper way. Again, on easy, so it wasn't all that bad. But like that thing being up close to you is absolutely horrifying. The underrated scare of this game, actually I'm going to shout out the Gyarados that you just mentioned, is not scary in this game because of the ability to sort of turn around corners and stuff like that. You can sneak around it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like, you can move slower, a lot easier in this game compared to the original. It's way less of a thing. So those are easy to deal with. The thing that made me jump the most was turning like 180 degrees and Ashley's right behind me. It's not the monsters, it's Ashley Graham. Just be like, whoa, geez, there you are. Like, when you're there and you're not expecting her, she was the biggest jump scare in the game for me over and over again. And the merchant as well. The first time you come out of the merchant's, like, it goes into a separate screen when you're doing your transactions. You go back, and he can be right up in your face. He's ugly, man. I didn't realize how ugly he is.
Did you try and, like, touch his face with your hands?
No, I didn't want to get close. I feel like you're going to break my neck if I get too close. It's very threatening aura in VR. So, weirdly, for me, Ashley Graham and the Merchant were probably some of the scariest bits.
Yeah. If funnily, when you go to, like, if you go to, like, touch Ashley, your hand disappears. So I guess it's for people trying to do inappropriate things.
She's a bit of immersion break because you kind of forget that you're a polygon model, right? Like, you're you. But then when you have a PS2 character model following you around that you're responsible for, there was just something about the size of her or whatever that was just like, yeah, this is very video game.
You know what? I never noticed how much her ears stick out from her hair, like, until you
go to
VR.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you feel about the Ashley gameplay as a whole? Like, are you one of the people that hates that, or do you not mind it?
The Ashley gameplay? I've always been kind of the opinion that people kind of blow it out of context a little bit, like they make a bigger deal out of it. She doesn't really follow you around for as much as the game that everyone seems to remember.
Yeah.
It's really only a few segments. Admittedly, some of those segments are really annoying. Of course, you know, the water room being the most the part where everybody dies the most. it doesn't really put me off in general, and largely I had an easier time of it this time around. Again, because the game is just, once you get the handle on things, it is just easier. I could no-scope all these dudes. Or didn't even need to no-scope them. I could just, if I steadied myself with two hands, I could take all those guys along the top with, like, the red nine.
Yeah.
Like, it was way less of a stress in that. So the Ashy stuff probably threw me off the least. Although, actually, special shout-out to the Ashy playable section for scares as well. That put me on edge just a little bit.
Yeah.
The Armadura, because there's nothing you can do, right? Mm-hmm. So... that was nice. how do you get on with the Ashy stuff?
I've always been like, I've not like minded it like in all my playthroughs. I granted, in probably over 100 of those playthroughs I did, I had her in the old armor.
True,
but
true.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but you can get a little bit annoying once you're screaming Leon over and over and over again, especially when it's right there in your ear in VR.
But, fair.
Yeah, I don't That's mind fair. It.
You mentioned like the RE2 remake mod and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and we talked a little bit about other VR games. So, I mean, what do you think in terms of other Resident Evil games that could be made VR? Did this immediately make you go, oh, well, I would love to play this game in VR, Resident Evil 5? I don't know. Like, is there anything that jumped out to you that was like, yeah, this is next for me?
Yeah,
I know they started at a peak for you with your favorite game.
That's
so anyways,
it.
Down,
it's only downhill. But like, you see, because it's a little bit different to the remakes, because you've kind of got that whole thing, obviously on PC, but also with PS5 now, because you can play Resident Evil 4 VR on that. So like, it would make sense for them to do the remakes on PlayStation at least in VR. Like, I'm surprised they haven't done that yet, but. In terms of like original Resident Evil games, I think 5 would be the logical next step, because it's kind of the same sort of thing as 4, like in the sense that the gameplay is very, very similar.
Yeah.
But I'd love to go back to Resident Evil 1, like the remake version on GameCube, and do that in VR, like, but have it, it still has all the original graphics and stuff, but like, it would have to be the remake version, I think, for it not to be as like immersion breaking.
Yeah, obviously the only problem with that is a lot of that's pre-rendered anyway, so they can just plonk you on top of it. They'd have to build it. Uh-huh. And I have a very up and down level of interest in them remaking Resident Evil 1 again. Like, I really ebbs and flows. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a really interesting idea. Mm-hmm. I really just can't settle on it. But I'll tell you what, there is a very specific moment that sticks out to me from this playthrough of Resident Evil 4. I remember exactly where I was. I was in Mendez's house. You know, when you get a moment to go downstairs and look around it. And there's all the paintings on the wall, and you can get right up close and look at like pictures of the village that are up on the wall, and that painting of Sadler and stuff. And I definitely had a moment of like, oh, I'd love to walk around the Spencer Mansion like this. If it means remaking the game, I mean, it would be horrifying. Again, as I say, with today's graphics, I probably wouldn't have a great time, because it would scare the crap out of me. But walk around the Spencer Mansion in VR, even if it was just like a dummy experience and not the full game, where it's just like, here's the location. It doesn't even have any enemies in it. You could just wander from room to room. Like, even just, a fan made that.
Yeah, the atmosphere.
I'd be instantly on it.
Definitely. So with my headset, it's sideloaded it. So that means you can put like custom like software on it and stuff. And I've made my background the RPD. So like, when you load into the actual Oculus headset, you can see like the statue and all that, and it plays the music, and just having that, like, you can't walk around, but just being in the RPD, it's the remake version, it's incredible. So it just makes us want to play Resident Evil 2. And I think probably like the Lost in Nightmares Resident Evil 5 DLC as well, like if they're gonna do Resident Evil 5.
Oh, look
like,
at that, put in a deep cut, I like it.
Like, doing that in VR would probably be great, because that's scary at times and it's very atmospheric. But yeah, I think Resident Evil 5 would be the next logical step.
Do you think it will happen? Do you think they're going to make another one? Or do you think it's kind of one and done?
I don't know now, because I think they're more focused on the remake stuff, which sucks, I guess. But what can you do?
It's weird, because Resident Evil is just like I said before, it's kind of, it does a little bit of everything in every console for everyone. But there have now been like 3 PlayStation VR games, and this felt like a weird outlier when it happened. For multiple reasons, not just because it's on the Quest, but you're doing a VR version of the original Resident Evil 4 while the remake was coming out. I was like, this is a really odd decision. I mean, that, we both said they completely smashed it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But it felt like an oddity. It feels like an oddity. I don't know if they'd make another one, which is a real shame. I would be there. No matter what game it is, obviously I'm going to play it because it's Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. But I would be excited for it. It doesn't... Maybe with the exception of 6, right? But mostly just because it's like, that's a lot of game.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but I really hope they do another one. And who knows? Maybe... I think the review scores for this are pretty unanimously positive. But obviously, yeah, it depends on sales figures more than anything else. And I don't know if the numbers are going to be there, unfortunately, especially when you're spreading it across multiple different platforms with VR. Like you say right now, if this was available on more platforms, maybe we'd get more going back and forth. But yeah, I don't know either.
It's a shame that the user base is fractured because of that. Like, it would be cool for PlayStation users to be able to like experience this game, because then they could like compare and contrast it to the new one, you know. But yeah, I wonder if they could do something like Darkside Chronicles, because I know that it's on Rails, but I think it would work in VR.
That would be awesome if they.
I guess I don't know how it works with the camera being locked, but like if you were to look around, but it just seems like it would work.
Yeah. it's an interesting one, because it's all like 3D environment, so you just have to unlock the camera. But yeah, because it's on Rails, it's essentially like making a... I guess what they probably have to do is to make like a new Chronicles game where it's just like a collection of greatest hits moments. That could really work. Like, actually, we're talking about what game would you adapt. Maybe it's something like that, where it's like a collection of stuff, or something wholly original. Resident Evil Survivor 5, for, you know, something bizarre. That would be really cool. But yeah, whether or not the numbers are there, I guess, is a different thing. Speaking of the numbers, though, and we've come in very praise heavy.
Yes.
We've both bought the headset with this game in mind. Do you think that... Do you feel like it's justified the price of the headset, this experience? And obviously the ability then to play...
It's a lot of money, but... Yeah, I do. I'm playing through Vader Immortal at the minute, and it's good, but, like, nothing can hold a candle to Resident Evil 4. And, like, I want to replay it on professional. I want to do all the mercenary stuff. It's just, like... getting back into it, I think. I recently did a little bit with the whole thing that we're doing at work, that whole challenge thing. But I want to, like, because it's strange, because you've got to physically stand or put the headset on, and, like, after about an hour, I start feeling a bit funny, like the headaches kick in a little bit.
Yeah.
And that kind of sours the experience a bit, but, yeah, I think it's worth the price of admission alone. Like, if you're a Resident Evil fan, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, obviously with the caveat of don't put yourself in financial concern by buying a console for one game. But because, yeah, like you say, there is some other stuff out there. There's a few things that I've got ready to check out. I've been putting some time watching myself go from terrible at Beat Saber to be able to pretty consistently play hard. Like, I'm having a great time with
that.
Playing Super Hot, like I mentioned. Like, I played a little bit before with friends, but now I own it, so I can just like fully immerse myself in it. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't looked into yet. Like you say, connecting it to the PC and playing like Half-Life Alyx or whatever. I don't think my PC could run that, but if it ever could, like, that's an option at least. So there is more to it. As a system seller, like with Resident Evil 7 for the PSVR, it's a system seller. It is the big flag for it. I would say if you are a huge fan of Resident Evil 4, yeah, definitely go for it. So, Dan, I mean, you've already said, like, you think this is the best way to play Resident Evil 4. Is that the conclusion of this? Like, is this the definitive gameplay experience?
I think so, you know. I think so. It's weird because it does break the game on a certain level. Like, it really does. But just the immersion factor alone makes it worth it. And I know you don't get to stare at Leon, like the back of Leon's head and his luscious locks, like, for the full game, but you get to be Leon, you get to see his lovely hands and stuff. I don't know where I'm going with this, but like, one thing, like, reload speed isn't a thing in this, because obviously you reload the gun yourself, so like when you go to the merchant you don't have to upgrade your reload speed, or like say if you're using the Red 9 you don't necessarily have to use a stock to steady your aim, because you're doing it yourself. So I think it takes away from a few of the like core mechanics of the game a little bit in that regard, but I think the like fun factor of being able to like dual wield a TMP in a Red 9 or whatever it may be, like, more than makes up for like some of that other stuff that is essentially like baked into the original game but isn't like here like now.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. My preference has always been the Wii version anyway. Like, mm-hmm. that's always been the height of it for me.
Yeah.
This is obviously in a similar wheelhouse to that. It's going to be so weird if I ever play Resident Evil 4 with a controller again, like going back to it. I feel like I'm going to be missing something. But you know what? The chances are I probably won't. I think this is it now. I've found Ooh. Resident Evil 4 finally after all Oof. These years. I will Oof. Probably only, if I'm going to play the original Resident Evil 4, it's going to be with the headset. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved it that much, and I'm really excited to do it again, and yeah. probably again.
What was your, like, not necessarily gripes, but, like, what makes it, like, not as high in the Resident Evil, like, rankings for you?
What, Resident Evil 4, just in general?
Yeah, just Resident Evil 4. Like,
oh, man, we've recorded, like, a four-hour podcast on that. I think I was just at the time, I was just one of those fans that was like, this is too different. This is not the Resident Evil that I know. They've changed the gameplay a lot. They've changed the mood a lot. They've thrown out the story that I was invested in. It's Umbrella have died on the stock market. Like, it was just such a wild departure that I was like, I don't know what this is. Mm-hmm. And I did. I wound up just watching other people play it rather than play it myself as well.
Okay.
So it's just taken a long time to come back to that and familiarize myself with it and kind of appreciate it in that way. I was never, I don't know if I ever outright hated it, but I was very suspicious of, yeah, exactly. But I was very suspicious of what it was. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the long term version of the story is that it needed to happen in order for the series to progress and to move and to eventually to get us where we are now, which I think is a really strong point in the series with everything that's going on currently.
Yeah.
And I've learned to appreciate it more and more over the years. But yeah, at the time, it just, I was like, I don't know about this one. I don't know if this is a great idea. Where's my fixed camera angles and my zombies, you know? As a kid. So
that's
different
fair.
Bad is basically what I'm getting at. Which is, you know, stupid.
Do you have like a worst part of the game, do you think, like in VR, like do you have a part that you didn't enjoy?
I don't think so. Like, even the dumb stuff I was just like, yeah, it's fun now. Like, I mentioned the dragon heads, absolute stupid lunacy, like it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But when I got there, there was kind of a pang of nostalgia for me, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Tell you what, actually, there is one. The Salazar boss fight, I didn't even do it. That was where my rocket went. I was like, I'm not messing around with this. This thing's so frustrating. So I kind of jobbed him off with a rocket launcher. But yeah,
it's because he's got the attack that kills you in one hit. I hate that.
And there's so much running around as well, from what I remember. Like, he can move so much, and there's the different layers that you can get knocked off. I just remember it being really frustrating last time I played it. So I was just like, a rocket launcher with your name on it, Ramon. So,
yes.
Yeah, save this one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Dan, you've been, obviously, you know, we talked about it. We're both over at What Culture Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know that by now, well, what are you doing? Go and subscribe to What Culture Gaming. But also, you've launched a podcast of your own, so chance for you to plug that.
All right. I started a podcast. I think I'm up there, like, episode 15 now. It's called Pixels and Jeez. Perspectives. It's basically just me and a bunch of... Well, it's a solo show, but I have guests on. I have, like, my friends on and stuff. And, Si, you need to come on. Like, this is me booking you. Like, whenever you want to come on, please do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got so much I want to talk to you about, like, more than just Resident Evil. And, like, I just want to pick your brain because I think it'll be really interesting. But, yeah, Pixels and Perspectives. It's on, like, Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, go subscribe so you can see the episode that I'm on when it comes out.
Yes.
That's clearly what it is. That's what it is, right? Cool. Well, as I said at the top of the show, go support First Aid Spirit on Patreon to see episodes like this early. Thank you for watching. Do leave us a like and all that good stuff. Dan, thank you for... I almost called you Daniel then. Full first name.
Full name is...
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Si. Like, I just love talking about Resident Evil.
Cool. Thank you for watching or listening, and have a good week.
Bye.